It's so good to be here. I'm not sure that we're getting off to a good start with the preacher. But you pray for me. We'll get along all right. It is so good to be here. A number of years ago, when I was Sunday school secretary at the Alabama Bible Methodist Conference, we came through here about 1982, I think it was. And I saw the little white church here. Saw the name. That's the only time I've been in this area until today. And I'm pleasantly surprised with this beautiful church building you have. And by the way, I just like the country setting. Now, you've got to come a long ways into the country to get here. And that means if we go to do any shopping, you got to go a long ways out of here. But this is my kind of world. My wife, it's a little different. She is a city slicker. She likes to live in the city. She likes to hear the noise and the bustle of city life and the lights and all that good stuff and Walmart and Cato's and, you know, whatever. But for 1 week, man, I'm going to enjoy myself. Now, preacher's talking about y'all sort of looking at us and whatever. I just want to tell you right off to begin with, I come from the Amish people. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I do. And Amish people have the ability to stare back. And so you stare at me, I'll stare at you. Okay? No, I really would like to, and I know it's impossible with the age I have and the short memory I have to get everybody straightened out. But if you don't mind, throughout the meeting, tell me your name. I won't remember it. I've got what you call sometimers. Sometimes I remember and sometimes I don't. And most of the time I don't. But I do want to get better acquainted. We're just common, ordinary folks. And it's so great to see such a good number here on the first night. Hope you plan to come back. Maybe after tonight you won't, but I sure hope you do. Well, enough said. I wish you would turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. A very familiar story. Probably all of us have heard this story before. About Naaman. How many have ever heard of Naaman? Well, a few of you have. The rest of you are not brave enough to raise your hand. You've all heard of Naaman. And quite a man. Quite an interesting character. And maybe the Lord will help us tonight to glean some help out of this lesson. 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 1. And then I'm going to drop down to verse 10. And then on down to verse 14. And then finish up with the first part of verse 19. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Look at verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Verse 19. And he said unto him, Go in peace. Tonight I have a subject that I think is easily understood. And we sing songs like Amazing Grace and Victory All the Time and Victory in Jesus and Covered by the Blood and on and on and on the list goes. Songs that we sang tonight was personal testimony to pull us closer to the Lord and go deeper and higher in Him. And I trust that's the reason you've come for the service tonight. But some of the songs that we sing clearly let us know that we can, right here in this present world, in your circumstances, in your town, in your home, in your community, we can have victory in Jesus. I believe that with all of my heart. There's lots of negatives in this world. Yeah, there really are. Some of the things that are happening in our nation perplex me. They don't perplex the Lord. Thank the Lord that I don't have to do all the answering to all these things. But sometimes I get a bit anxious, worried, frustrated, upset. And when we talk about having victory, being on top, getting through, there's one key word, and it's simply obedience. Everybody on this side tonight and on this side and this fellow up here, if we are where God wants us to be, and if we are serving Him tonight, it's because we're obeying Him. Vice versa. Whoever's in this building tonight that isn't where you ought to be, it's because you're not obeying the Lord. It's really a simple matter. And yet it is so difficult for some people. Why is that? Some people are not willing to do what God says. They're not willing to meet His conditions, His terms. They still want to be in control. They still want to do what they want to do. They have sort of the attitude, it's my life, I can do with it what I want to. If I want to serve the Lord, I can. If I don't, so what? Not hurting anybody else. The truth is, that's not so. If you're not serving the Lord, what I'm trying to tell you is, you can't blame it on your neighbor. You can't blame it on co-workers. You can't blame it on your family. You can't blame it on your church. You can't blame it on the preacher. You can't blame it on your circumstances. You're to blame. It's my fault if I'm not serving the Lord, because the Lord has so arranged it that as an individual, apart from anybody else, I can be a Christian. And at the same time, He's so made it that all of us can be Christians, and all of us can obey the Lord, and all of us can have victory. But it's a personal thing. And so tonight, in one sense, the easiest thing in the world to do to have victory is simply obey God. There's nothing else you have to do. Brings it right down to one thing, obey God. And yet that simple formula for victory is so hard for some people. Now I ask you a personal question to begin with tonight. Do you have victory? If not, why not? In this particular story, Naaman is quite a character. He was an important man. He was captain. He was what you would call an important fellow in the country of Syria. He was in charge of the army. It was at his word that men marched. It was at his word that things changed in that country and in the surrounding countries. Because you see, he was even honorable in the sense that God used him to give victory to Syria. He had lots of things going for him. He had position. He had power. He had people following orders. He was in with the king. He had commands. He expected people to obey them. He was educated in warfare. Just a super great guy. Somebody that you would want on your side. But after all of those things that we can rehearse again and again, how great he was and powerful he was, the thing that set him apart was the fact that he was a leper. And it sort of downplayed all of his good points. Really did. And you know, I know a lot of good people. Special people. Moral people. Great friends. Great neighbors. Even people that come to church on a regular basis. Just absolutely fantastic people that are good people. But there's something wrong with them. And you know in the Bible that leprosy is always a type of sin. And there are some people that meet every criteria of being good people in this world. And yet, the thing that sets them apart, that sort of ruins and overrides all of their good points, is the fact they're not Christians. They're not obeying the Lord. They don't have victory. And you know, we can be ever so good morally, financially, relationship-wise. We can be so wonderful and so nice to have around and wonderful personalities and great folks. But the only thing that truly matters in this world is whether or not you're a Christian. Because when it comes down to really the important things, it's whether I have victory in my heart or whether I don't. And you know people that are special to you. You can trust them. And as you look at their lives, you can't put anything, finger on anything in their lives except for the fact they just aren't Christians. And that sets them apart. And I challenge us this week, if you're not where God wants you to be, just remember, you can be a good person, and I'm not throwing off on that. You can be special in the eyes of a lot of people. You can be the head of your home. You can be in control of your household. You can pay the bills on time. Whatever else good you can say. But if you're not a Christian, you've got serious problems. And God wants to help you to make sure that the most important thing in your life is that you're in a right relationship with Him. And the blood's been applied and your sins are gone. And you're serving the Lord and you have victory. That's the most important thing. In this particular story, there's a call for help. Prior to this particular time, you remember that Israel had been taken captive, or some of the Israel people had been taken captive by the Syrians. And one of those people was a young girl that found her way into the home of Naaman. And she became the maid of Naaman's wife. Now she was raised in Israel. She evidently, obviously, according to the story, had some wonderful teaching. That while she was away in a foreign country, while she was among enemies, so to speak, she still remembered her upbringing. And it gives me hope when I know of parents whose children are not serving the Lord. I can point them to this and say, if you've taught them right, they remember, they understand, they know, and God can bring it to them again and again and again. Just stay faithful to pray, because here's a young girl in a strange land. But she remembered. Oh, Naaman is sick. And she says, if we could get him to the man of God in Samaria, I know that he could be healed. That's confidence, isn't it? That's assurance. That's faith of a young girl. Well, that news floated to the king of Syria. And so he said, well, if that's all that's necessary, I'll sit down and write a letter. I'll send some fellows along. We'll take some changes of clothes and some silver and some gold, and we'll just send him to the king of Israel. A call for help came through this letter. Well, they made their way to the king's palace. And when the king read the letter, he was rather upset. He didn't look at it favorably. He said, what in the world is this guy from Syria think I am? I mean, am I God? Can I raise the dead? Can I whatever? You know, I mean, really? He said, oh, I know what his motive is. His motive is to get a quarrel started or to get back at war again. And he was all bent out of shape, rent his clothes and carried on. But there was this man of God, Elisha. Thank God for people in the midst of things that are going bad. There are still people who are serving the Lord. There are still prophets of God. There are still those that have a victory and they have a life that speaks well and they have an influence and an outreach that says those people know how to touch God. And we can be one of those. And I hope you are. And Elisha said, when he found out how the king reacted, he said, no need in acting like that. Send him down to me. And he'll know that there is a prophet in Israel. I love that. I ask you tonight, do you have an influence that lets people know that when they really need prayer, when there's really a problem in their lives, they can come to you? Have confidence in your prayers that you can touch heaven. I'm telling you, if there's anything in our world we need tonight, it's people who are on first name basis with God and have things in the clear and can talk to Him and communication can go and come as needed and things can be changed and lives can be transformed and God's hand can be moved. So they take Naaman down to Elisha's house. Elisha reads the letter. Then he gives a clear command. Call for help through a letter. Then there's a command. And it's simply this. Naaman, go jump in the river. That's what he said. You know, we would say that today. Go dip in the river of Jordan 7 times. What a command. Now, remember, God is always fair and honest and to the point. He always knows what we need. He knew what Naaman needed. He knew that it needed to be the river of Jordan. He also knew that it would take 7 times. I hope you get that point. Because God is, He's not one that beats around the bush. If you have a need and you ask Him, you want help, He'll tell you exactly what you need to do to have victory. He'll be down to the point. And the command came through clear. Go dip in the river of Jordan 7 times. And at that particular point, that is all that registered with Naaman. And immediately there was a point of contention that rose up. What in the world does he think? Come on! There are better rivers than that. And he named a couple. He said, I don't need to go to Jordan. You know, the whole problem with that is the same problem that so many people have today. They want to tell God how they want it done. And that isn't the way it happens. God is clear with the command. And so when you find out what God wants you to do, the best thing to do is obey. But here's Naaman saying, nope, other rivers are better than that. And 7 times in the muddy hole, Jordan, come on, you're not being fair. You've never asked anybody else to do that. Can you hear some people saying that? You know, why can't I do that? They can. Why do they? Why can't we? On and on and on and on and on. You know, I say it like this. There may be a few issues in our lives that are different from somebody else's. And it's because God knows people's strengths and their weaknesses. And there are some things that bother me that won't bother you. So God doesn't talk to you about those things. But the things that bother me, He says, wait a minute, hold on. Leave that alone. Stay clear of that. Don't go there. Because He's interested in me having victory and maintaining victory. And what He may talk to me about, He won't talk to you about. But I can't go around saying, well, because they don't do it, I don't understand that, and because they can, I can. No, wait. God is being fair to all of us. And remember, He wants all of us to go to heaven. And He doesn't put everybody in the same mold. Now, everybody has to be saved. Everybody has to be holy. That's clear. But there are some personal issues that God talks to us about. And Naaman could say, nobody else has ever jumped in the River of Jordan 7 times. That's ridiculous. I can just hear some people's answer today when they know what God wants them to do. That's absurd. That's just going too far. That's demanding too much. Oh my. If you want victory, you got to do what God says. Pure and simple. And if you have the command that's clear and you say it's ridiculous, it's too far, it's too much, it's too hard, then you won't have victory. I wish we could understand that. And God says to you and He says to me what He does because He knows what it takes to keep us in victory. Point of contention was, in fact, he got mad. He really did. And the Bible says he stomped off in a rage as if to say, no way, I'll never do that. You know anybody that talks like that to God? Oh no, we wouldn't ever be that uncouthed. We're refined. But there are people that continually come to our so-called holiness churches that have the exact same attitude. Oh no, Lord, you're not going to get that on me. No, sir, I'm not going to go that far. But I'm not going to be ridiculous for the Lord. And you might just as well stomp off in a rage because the attitude in your heart is the very same thing. He was just a little more demonstrative than some people. But the result's the same. The reaction down in the heart's the same. I'm not going to do it. Okay? You're not going to do it, you don't have victory. Pure and simple. I love that there were other fellows around. And I think these fellows, can you allow me to use my imagination just a little without you throwing me out first night? But I just think there's a group of guys with them, you know, and I know there is. And I think they are reasoning like this. We've never seen him act like that before. I mean, normally he's in charge and everything's going great and we got to march and we got to do this. And now he's stomping off in a rage and acting like a kid. And one of the guys says, I think we need to talk to him. Another guy sort of backs away, oh, not me. Not in that frame of mind. Oh, absolutely not. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. And they discuss it. And one fellow speaks up and says, you know, we've come a good long ways. And he said, I'm not willing to turn around and go back to Syria without giving it a try. Sort of get their heads together. One of them says, you go talk to him. Now, if that had been you, well, how would you have reacted? Probably like that first fellow did. Oh, no. But somebody brave enough in the crowd said, okay, if you don't, you don't, you don't, I will. Brave old soul. And he walks up to Naaman, who's upset, man. I mean, he's not only frustrated, he's just pure mad. He's not in a frame of mind to do the right thing. He walks up to him and says, sir, I need to talk to you. Naaman's never been talked to like that. He says, so what do you want to say? He said, I just want to tell you, we've come a long ways. You know what the man of God said. And remember, you have to go to the River of Jordan. You have to dip 7 times. But don't forget this. If you do, your skin is going to come back and you're going to be clean. Don't forget that part. And that's where we miss it as well. We just hear sort of the initial demand where God just says it right out. We forget the promise that comes along with the command. Says, if you do this, this is what I'll do. And then he really turns on the pressure. And he says, now look, you know that if he would have asked you to do something really important out in front of a big crowd where your name would have really been special and everybody would have looked up to you and maybe everybody would have applauded and you got a lot of attention, you'd have done it without question. Boy, it is literally ripping at Naaman's heart. Whoa. How dare he talk to me like that? And yet there's something on the inside that says, whoa, they know me. They understand me. Wow, how did they understand? How did they find out? You just acted like a kid. That's how we found out. You stomped off in a rage and said, I'm not gone. It's ridiculous. And when he thinks about it a moment, and he realizes, and this guy comes right back and he says, I'll tell you what, we are not going home until you give it a try. And Naaman is saying, well, probably can't hurt. Okay. All right. And there you have the commitment. Call for help. The command that's clear. The point of contention. After first hearing the command, rise up, resist, and say no. And all of a sudden, when you think it through, and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, and the Word of God speaks to us, and we're really found out for who we really are, if you're wise, you'll say, oh yeah, that's the way it is. That's the way I am. And you'll make a commitment. And Naaman says, okay, I give in. Let's go. And they head straight to the River Jordan. Again, my imagination is running wild. But along the way, people are seeing this group of people and the horses and chariots and wonder what in the world's going on. And some of them are saying, who is that? What's happening? You know, and the word floats around. Those kind of things move fast. Saying, oh, it's Naaman. Oh, king of Syria. Yeah. You know, well, we heard he's been sick. Yeah, he's got leprosy. Yeah. But he's just found out how to get cured. He's supposed to go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. And the command and the promise is he's going to be clean. He's going to get his skin back. He's going to be whole. And that person after person says, hey, I'd like to see that. I wouldn't mind being there. Is it all right if I come? Sure. Why not? And I can just see a whole host of people following after. And somewhere in the journey and turning or whatever, Naaman looks back and he sees all these people coming. And he's saying, whoa, wait a minute. What in the world is this? Oh, it says just people coming to see the miracle. That's all. They just want to see what happens. And you know, there's always some people that come along for the miracle. You know, loaves and fishes. You know, that kind of thing. That's what Jesus said. And Naaman says, No. He said, it's hard enough for me to do what I said I would do in front of you guys who know me. Send these people home! They said, no, they have a perfect right. We're in their country. We can't send them home. They're here. Sort of reminds me of some people who say, I'll mind God if. I'd go to the altar if there weren't so many people around here. You know what? If we're going to have victory, we're going to have to get to a point where we are so committed to the command of God until it doesn't matter what he says and it doesn't matter who's around. Yeah. You get miserable enough down on the inside. You get to the point where you want victory more than anything else in the world and nothing else matters to you. And so here this crowd goes and they get to the River Jordan. When they get to the River Jordan, I like to put myself in his shoes. If I was Naaman, if I was a leper, if I was captain of the host of the king of Syria, if I was educated in warfare, if I was chief, if I had position and power like he did, how would I feel? Whoa. You mean I really got to dip in this river? Yep, that's the command. He says, okay. And he goes down the first time, and if that would have been me, I think when I come up wet, nothing happened, I'd be a little embarrassed because of who I am. You know? And here's these people on the bank watching. But he remembers it's not one time, it's seven times. So he goes down the second time. If that would have been me when I came up the second time and nothing happened, I think I'd have been a little pessimistic. I said, now wait just a minute. You know, why can't you start restoring at least? Where I can see there's something happening. But nothing's happened except I've just gone down the second time. And all these people are looking on. But he remembers it's not two times, it's seven times. So he goes down the third time. He comes up, and again, if that was me, I think by this time, I'd have been thinking about my influence. Wow, these guys from home. Then all these guys in Israel that are here. What are they thinking about me? I'm only trying to be human, you know? I think that's the way I'd sort of feel. But he remembers it's not three times, it's seven times. And he goes down the fourth time and he comes up, and if that would have been me, I think I'd have been a little optimistic. Better than halfway. Yeah. He remembers it's not four times, it's seven times. I hope you're getting the point. Specific commands demand specific obedience to the point. He remembers it's not four times, it's seven times, and down he goes. Comes up the fifth time. Now, if that would have been me, I think I would have tried to encourage myself a little. Nothing's really happened, but I'm not any worse. You know? He remembers not five times, it's seven times. So he goes down the sixth time. If that would have been me, and I come up the sixth time, I'd have said, you know, I am so near. I'm so near. I'm determined to do exactly what God says. Now let me stop here long enough to tell you this. Just get the point I'm trying to make. The devil really doesn't care if you follow the Lord's command through the sixth dip. He doesn't care. All he cares is that you don't do all that God says. That's all that matters. Because you realize and he realizes six times didn't get it. The seventh time will. But if he can stop you before complete obedience, it's as though you never even started to obey. You lose out. You don't get the victory. And so many people start out, oh yeah, okay, I'll do that, Lord, yeah, yeah. And they get almost to the point of full surrender and consecration in spite of people and in spite of things and what they're going to say. They get almost to that point and then something trips them up. And they walk away and they don't have victory. And the devil shouts for glee. But he remembers it's not six times. It's seven times. And so he bravely goes down the seventh time and up he comes. And I just want to tell you, he had brand new skin. He had the cure. Hallelujah. And for your spiritual leprosy, God has the cure every single time through the blood of Jesus Christ and full obedience to his will. And that's the only way you'll have the cure for your spiritual leprosy, obeying God. But there's a second part to the promise. Not only did he have his skin return, restored as it was when he was a baby. Can you imagine an old man having baby skin? God does it so good till it's complete. And he says, and he was clean. Wow. There you have the cleansing. And in verse 19, the story ends with the commission. Go in peace. And I just want to tell you, on this first night of revival meeting, you may have spiritual leprosy. You may not have victory. But if you'll do all God tells you to do, and you go the seventh time, for you it may only be three times. For others it may be 10 times. I'm just here to tell you that God knows exactly what it takes for every one of us to have victory. And again, I simply say, all you have to do is do all God says. That's all. What's so hard about that? When you remember, you'll have victory when you do it. You'll have the cure. You'll be clean. And you can go and hear the words, go in peace. There's so many people that don't have peace tonight, and it's because they don't obey God. I can't say it any more simple than I tried to say it here tonight. If you have victory, it's because you obey God. If you don't have victory, it's because you don't obey God. What's God telling you to do? It's the first night of meeting. I've always said this. I don't fully understand why people want to push off and hold off and resist and say no to the command of God all the way through a revival meeting until the last night. They can't enjoy the services. They don't have victory. Thank God they keep coming. But they push it off until the very last night, and they sort of expect God to really come and really, really put on the clamps and really, you know, and then after real hard service and scary stories and whatever else. Okay, yeah, finally, voila. Don't you see it would be so much easier just to respond to the voice of God? I just want to tell you, I don't use crazy, scary stories. Here's the way I feel. You'll hear me out during the week. Here's the way I feel. If I want victory, when God speaks to me, I ought to be kind enough, grateful enough to say, oh, thank you, Lord, for speaking to my needs. And I'll say yes. There's no resistance. There's no fight back. There's no sticking it out. There's no standing with a firm grip on the bench and saying, I'm not going tonight. No, that's not the way to have victory. The way to have victory is just simply say, thank you, Lord, for talking to me, and I'll settle the issue on your terms. That's the way to victory. And if you aren't a Christian tonight, in a congregation this size, probably 100 people, I have no clue, maybe more than that. No doubt there's somebody here tonight that doesn't have victory. And I would just challenge you on this very first night. Do what you know you ought to do. And do it now. And give God everything. And you can enjoy the rest of the meeting and grow in the Lord and just see how God's going to help you. It's so much more enjoyable to be in the center of God's will and have your need met and praise the Lord and be out of your bondage and be set free and serve the Lord with gladness, come into His courts with praise. Why not? Let's stand together. Without much hard pull, I don't ever do that. My feeling is this, if the Lord's speaking, we ought to say yes quickly, do what He says. But I just want to ask you, give you opportunity this first night. What's the Lord talking to you about? Reason it out. If you'll settle the issue, you can go out of here tonight with victory in your heart. Do you want to do that? Then if you do, just step right out. And let's have a prayer before you go home tonight. Settle it on God's terms. I'm going to do what He says in this revival meeting. It could be our last revival meeting, the way things are shaping up. And I know we've heard that said over and over and over and over. But you know, one of these days, it's going to be our last revival meeting. If this is your last revival meeting, what do you want to do? You want to have victory, don't you? Don't let the devil cheat you out of victory. Just do what he says. Simply, just obey him. Thank God. Here's a young lady. Here's another one. That's the right thing to do. We don't have to be hard, calloused, and difficult, and stubborn. Just obey. Just yield. Just say yes. That's the way to have victory. There's another one on the way. Thank God. Thank God. Who else wants to come? Just quickly, step right out. I don't know if you're used to singing. I don't know if you're used to music. It really doesn't make any difference. What we really need is the voice of God. And then we need to listen. And he's talking. I don't wait long at altar calls, but I'm waiting for you. Who else is God talking to tonight? Come on. Be a real man, be a real lady, and let's just mind God. That's right. Hallelujah. That's right. You're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. If God is calling you to kneel here, don't stand there. You can't have victory that way. Let's obey him. Is everybody obeying him tonight? Hurry. Hurry. While the Spirit's moving, the Spirit's talking, I want you to think it through. I want you to reason. And I can tell you, if you're a thinking, reasoning person, you will always reason and think on God's terms to have victory in your heart. Who else is going to come? The Lord's still talking tonight. Be a bit patient. Saints, pray. Let's hold on just a moment. Just a moment. God's still talking. But hurry. Hurry. Let's give God everything tonight. Let's do like Naaman. Okay, let's go to our River of Jordan. Let's dip 7 times. Let's come up clean. Let's come up with victory and hear the commission. Go in peace. Anybody else, if you're coming tonight, hurry. Come right now. Step right out. Come on. That's right. That's right. That's the thing to do, young man. Absolutely. You'll never be sorry obeying God. Never be sorry obeying God. We can kneel at the front bench. Don't have enough room here. Anybody else? Come on. Come right now. Hurry. Hurry. While we wait just a moment longer. Thank God. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to have victory. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Then we can have revival. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Just a moment. They were still coming. I'm sorry. I hesitate to hold this long, but as long as people are coming, let's be serious tonight. Let's do the right thing. God's not cruel. God's not with a billy club waiting in heaven to beat us over the head. He's talking to us kindly and patiently and wants us to come and reason together and do the sensible thing. Anybody else tonight? Hurry. You'll never have peace unless you do what God tells you to do. Obedience, the way to victory. Lord, we want to thank you for your help tonight. Give us victory around the altar. Help all of these, Lord. Settle the issues you've talked to them about. Others that may not have courage to come tonight, bring us back together throughout this revival meeting. Continue to talk to our hearts, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. As many as can, let's quickly gather in. Let's gather in. I always enjoy seeing a good group of people come and gather around the altar. Have a good volume of prayer.